Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, guys? This is Dave Heilman, a.k.a. Dynasty Dorks. This is the SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast. We're on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and presented to you today by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. Don't forget about IPVanish. We're brought to you also by IPVanish. IPVanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. It's ipvanish.com/SGP. And don't forget about the SGPN Discord. Make sure you go to the new Discord server, the perfect place to interact, sweat the bets with the entire SGPN crew. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Everybody, make sure you do all that, so that like, subscribe, and do all those things to support the show. Thank you for tuning in. Now I want to introduce my guest, one of my favorite follows on Twitter. Every time you're on Fantasy Pros, I'm always like cheering in my car for you. Scott, how are you doing today, sir?
Dave, that's an intro, man. I appreciate it. And I love doing this. I love talking football. I love being able to, you know, even in season, out of season, break down kind of what's important about it, why we like it, what's interesting, how it hooks us. And man, I got to go on Fantasy Pros 3 times last year. And Joe Pizzapia said I was the holiday guy. And that just, like, I mean, warmed my heart. I can't work there right now. You know, I got to keep being a teacher. But that was just so cool. What a great experience last year. And, you know, shout out Joe and everybody at Fantasy Pros. They're awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, Scott is, you know, when you're on there, I love it. And you're just, you're so on point when you're on there. I just been really impressed, you know, when you have gotten the opportunities, how you've taken advantage of that. And like I said, one of my favorite follows and guys to interact with on Twitter. Let's talk about a little bit about how you got into this. You know, when did you start playing fantasy football? How did you get into doing content?
Yeah, so I started playing fantasy football probably in 2000 and I want to say 3 or 4. We've been playing in our home league for like 18, 19 years, and we love it. It's something that as a friend group, we kind of got into, and we went hard. Like, we went trash talking. You know, we had beer pong tournaments during this weekend Christmas. We got men's Christmas, right? So we would just go all out. We'd go away to different places, take over towns. You know, no guns were involved, but I mean, we were fire. You know, we were just, we were out of control. We're having a great time. Being, you know, nothing illegal happened to anybody. And so it was a fun time. But that turned into just a love of fantasy for me. Just the boys' night turned into like, okay, now I'm going to actually study this. I'm going to get into all this. I've always loved football. I've been a football fan since I was about 5 years old, and maybe 4 years old. The Raiders beat the Washington football team, and my grandma was a Raiders fan. They were then the Redskins. So she was just, you know, totally against them and hated them. And so I was like, this is cool. I love this. I love my grandma. I love football. And so I would go over to grandma's house and watch football, and then we end up living with her, so I'd watch it whenever she watched it. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then content wise you know what, I started by just doing what I love is following all these different people on fantasy, you know, Twitter. And that is, you know, the Matthew Berrys, the then Mike Tagliere, you know, right now I'm thinking, you know, Jeff Ratcliffe, just a bunch of different people in the game, Denny Carter, JJ Zacharys, and Matt Harmon. So these were all people who I just started following. And I didn't plan to do any content. And then I had a life crisis. I turned 40. My job was not as fulfilling as I wanted. I was getting burnt out being an evaluator for teachers. And I was writing all the time, but not for football, not for me. And one October in 2019, 18, I don't know when it was. I'll go back and look. I stopped. It was a Friday night. I had worked all week. And I just, like, I love fantasy football. And more importantly, I love DFS. We talked about, you know, a little bit in the pre meeting how we're going to kind of get into that today, which I'm excited about. And DFS really is daily fantasy sports, right? And for DFS for football, it's going to be you can play on a Thursday night. There's content a Sunday, a Saturday. Whenever the NFL plays, you can play DFS, which is pretty cool. They got different size tournaments and stuff, but we'll get into that later. But I just said, you know what? I'm going to write for my own process to help me understand what I'm doing, right? Just because I'm not that reflective all the time. Let me put something down on paper. Let me see what the winners are doing, you know, at the time, you know, the awesomos. Well, what are people doing to win? And then I kind of started copying some of their builds, you know, making my lineups more aligned to the winning lineups, not picking the players, but the strategies. And so I started writing just for myself. And fast forward a little bit later, my daughter ends up getting cancer that same year. And the fantasy community just jumps in to love on me and my daughter, London. And, you know, it quickly ballooned into everybody just was talking and we're all building relationships. And I'm doing my site before, but it was just for me. It wasn't for money. It still isn't really. But it just turned into, though, like, hey, we're going to do a podcast. Me and my best friend started doing a podcast. Me and Bo McBrayer, Bo underscore McBigTime on Twitter. Follow him, by the way. He's awesome. He works for Fantasy Pros as one of their best writers over there for DFS and for season long, too. I mean, he's the jack of all trades. But I fell in with Bo. We started a show, too. And then the next thing you know, it's 2 years later. We're starting year three. Year four for my website, but year three is actually pursuing content. And we do it all. We do Fantasy Redraft on Mondays with my partner at the Ralph Macchio, Mike Collins. He is over there at the Fantasy Millionaires. And that is a redraft show. We break down who you should pick up. Like before Monday Night Football even starts, we're telling you the players you should break down. You don't need to, you know, go and look at another show on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. Just pick them up on Monday. We're already ready for you. And then on the weekend, me and Bo hit you with the DFS. So we got all the bases covered. I like to do gambling as well. And we're at the perfect place for that, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, which I write for. I'm the DFS writer for them. And I have my first, and a redraft writer too. I have my first article out. It's all about rookie running backs and where you can draft them and where you can expect them to produce fantasy-wise this year in redraft. And so strategy-wise, you might not want to draft them all. I'm going to pick a couple of them. But this kind of gives you the blueprint where you're going to find them, where you can get them, and what they're going to probably in the range of producing based on historical data, based on fantasy relevant data for the last 8 years that I've normed. And all the data is there on the article. So, you know, go Sports Gambling Podcast Network and put in rookie running back breakouts. You'll find it. And it's got 20 rookies to read about. So it keeps you busy for a while.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And yeah, love to have you on the team. We're really putting together a solid roster. And when I saw your article came out, I didn't even know you were writing for us. And I was pumped. So before we get into it, just so you know what the meat and potatoes of the show is going to be, we're going to do a mock draft at the end. But we're going to talk about intro to DFS because, again, I brought Scott in because when I think DFS, I think of Scott. I'm mad that I didn't invite Bo because I was talking to my buddy Matty Daddy yesterday. And I told him that you were coming on, and he just instantly thought Bo was coming too. And he was like, dude, those guys are so smart. He said, he was on a show with Bo the one time, and we're just talking about how just he was like, I was just learning so much just by listening to him talk. And so now I gotta make sure that I send Bo an invite as well. But a lot of Bo love. And before we go into the next part, we're gonna show some more love to WynnBET. So again, make sure you get down on Wynn's Bet 50 to win $200 promotion, where $50 in bets qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes it the best place to bet MLB. And don't forget about the ultimate fantasy football experience. It's not too late to join. Bet $500 plus on sports or casino before July 31st. You get entered to win in the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much you can choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Claim your free bets today. Offer subject to change. Terms and condition at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in a state where Wynn Play or Play Through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please have them call 1-800-522-4700. And again, don't forget about the SGPN Discord. Make sure you check out the new Discord server, the perfect place to interact and sweat the bets with the entire SGPN crew. Just go to the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. So, Scott, let's just start with the basics. DFS, we talked about daily fantasy sports. What are some basics, the 101, for someone that's new to it?
Okay, so there's a couple different platforms you can play on, but the two main platforms that you might have seen commercials for, if you haven't played or if you have played, are DraftKings and FanDuel. So FanDuel is a half-point PPR, which to me, it's okay. It's not as fun. I love playing in the full-point PPR leagues. Maybe people don't like, that's fine. They're both pretty popular. I primarily play on DraftKings, and 2 years ago, I got second in a tournament that had 300,000 people in it. I got 5K. I won 5K. I was 0.6 points away from first in 10K, and I would have won the Million Maker by like 8 or 9 points that week. So that hooked me. Like, that kind of stuff hooks me, and that was on DraftKings. I've won a couple $100 here on maybe $600 or so on FanDuel. Cool. I like that too. But when you win thousands, you're like, hey, I'm going to stick with DraftKings. So the way it works is, each week, if you're into fantasy, I'll kind of bridge it from fantasy. Each week, you set a lineup from your roster that you have on your fantasy team, right? So you pick, you've got 16 players probably on your bench, maybe 17 players. You put a roster together, and then you field a team. DFS is similar, except that you pick players for every single game that you decide to enter or any tournament that you decide to enter. So let's say on a Sunday, there might be 11 or 12 games, 13 games on that slate. That is the 1 o'clock, and then it ends at 7:30. So all of those games, you can pick the players from any position. You know, quarterback, you pick one. Running back is mandatory two. Wide receivers three, and then a flex, a tight end, a defense. Right. So that kind of is, that's a 9-man squad or 9-man team that you're putting together with the defense in there, and you have a certain budget that you can allocate to it: $60,000, $50,000, and you're accruing and paying these different prices based on the different skill levels of your players. So players last year, for example, like Lamar Jackson, when he was healthy, he had a higher price. Anytime you had Patrick Mahomes on a slate, his price was a little bit higher. So you're evaluating these players and you're buying their worth and you're putting lineups in. So it's a really fun way to still love fantasy. And if your fantasy team isn't in it that week, or if you're not playing that, all your teams are already fielded and you want to play another, get the itch, as we say, you kind of want to build more, you can play DFS and you can build as many different lineups as you want. I personally, the tournament that I talked about is a tournament that has 150 entries you can put in for 50 cents each, right? $75. I did that regularly last year, and it was so much fun to just build those builds in a simulator. I have a different simulator that I have. I use runthesims.com, and then get ideas from that, and then go ahead and just put them in hand by hand. I build 150 hand-built lineups based on ideas that I created and metrics that I made, but you don't have to have that. The year I won 5K, I just put a 50-cent lineup in. I put two lineups in and I won. So it's so much fun because you're sweating. It's just like betting, but it's not, right? Because it's a game of skill, they say. So it's not exactly like betting, where betting is more regulated. So DraftKings are pretty much legal in all the states, I believe. Maybe not Arizona, because Arizona is terrible. But if you live in Arizona, I'm so sorry, government-wise. But yeah, it's a really fun way to be able to play and interact with football, and they have different slates. So you might just play, the first games, 1 o'clock games, or maybe you play the 4 o'clock games, or maybe play the one game on Sunday night or the Monday night game. So it really, it tickles your fancy however you want to get into it. And I'll tell you a funny story. That's how me and Bo became friends. We were in a fantasy league, but we just started chumming it up and talking about what we love the most. And really what it is, it's daily fantasy sports. It's thinking about every game and what's going to happen and being obsessed, right? And taking no breaks. And so if you're a nutball who loves, sports and kind of what the value of a player is at any second and what they're going to do this week and what your projections are, and you want to be able to, kind of make some money and play with some money and do it, DFS is a perfect way to get in and just to have a little fun. And, you don't have to spend $1 million either. You can spend, like I said, 50 cents on a lineup and still sweat it out and maybe, win a little bit of cash here and there.
So what would you say to the people that are afraid of, we'll call them the whales or the sharks that are out there? Like, are you just throwing, they feel like they're just throwing their money away because these, other people out there doing it like that. What do you say to them?
I would say that there are tournaments that you don't want to play in that would have lots of whales in it that are going to have a lot more entries. So, for example, one that's popular you might see on TV or just hear about is the Millie Maker tournament each week, right? And what you have is a $20 entry fee normally, but people can put in up to 150 entries. So people who are like Osimo, who's the number one ranked DFS player in the world, Alex Baker, he'll put in 150 lineups, right? And he has enough money that he can just do that. And a lot of people do who have won, and they're playing those lineups. And so they've got more bullets in their chamber to go after that. So for me, I put in one just as a show gimmick with Bo. Normally, you just go build one. What would you do? What are your builds? And we've won, you know, a little bit, maybe a couple hundred bucks here and there. Never anything, you know, not a really good investment. But smaller tournaments or there's different types of games too. So you could play those big tournaments when you're going against thousands of people, or you can play head to head. So Dave, I could play you. It could be Scott versus Dave, and maybe I'm not a shark. Maybe I'm your friend, right? So me and Bo actually have one of our content bits we do every week is a show that we call, or a writing piece, but it's going to be a show this fall, called The Clash of the Beards and Bellies. And we both have beards, we both have bellies, and so we clash. We go head to head every week. We write up our guys, talk about who our guys are. And the first year, Bo beat me pretty considerably. Last year, I came back and I beat Bo. So it's been great. Like you said, I've learned from Bo. Just, you know, when you find somebody who's smarter than you and knows more about fantasy and more about NFL, and just his brain is an encyclopedia. I just want to be around him. I hired him to write for me over at nimblewnumbers.com, and we just developed a real good friendship, and I love doing content with him. And we argue, we fight, we disagree with each other, we give each other shit, you know, we mock each other. One time we made a bet, and it wasn't a monetary bet because I was paying him at one point. I had to write all the articles next week if I lost. So I lost. I had to do all his work, and I named the article "What Does White Dog Shit Taste Like?" or "Eating White Dog Shit" as reference to Step Brothers, where you know he has to eat white dog shit. So well, it's been so much fun just to have a content piece that resets too. So okay, so you drafted a shitty fantasy team, and it's week six, and you're like, fudge. Well, man, DFS. You can DFS. You can DFS. You can DFS. So
it's almost the opposite of Dynasty, and you know. With Dynasty, you know, you're locked in and you're like married to those situations. You know, obviously you can trade and things like that, but you know, you have a couple players go down and you thought you were in it to win it and you traded your pieces from next year and now you're feeling like that white piece of dog shit. Sure. But you got DFS that can save you. And I was going to bring up that bit, and you guys can tell just by listening to Scott why you guys should go listen to Scott and Bo, because the entertainment is there. But I mean, I see him post his stuff on Twitter. He puts the lineups. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take $20 and I'm going to play one of Scott's. I'm gonna play Scott's lineup. I'm going to play Bo's lineup. I'm going to play my lineup. And I want to, you know, I've got my money back thanks to one of you guys, not me. But you know, I do it every once in, you know, once in a while, because I see it and I'm like, hey, let's do that. That's fun. And you know, obviously trying to look at your lineups and think about what's your process. So I'm glad you guys are putting it on a show, just to let people know, because again, the process, the results aren't always there, but if you can learn the process, then you can get better at things. What are some tips or things when you are talking about kind of the process?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think everybody, when you go to play any game, you need to understand the rules, right? So what I do when I go to play a DraftKings contest is see how many people are in it, what the payout is, how it all works, right? So like I talked about, that head-to-head matchup is a nice one to do. What I like to do also is do tournaments, you know, 20-man tournaments, 20-woman person, whatever, tournaments where you invite a private, you know, people in and you say, okay, Dave, you want to play this week? $5. I pay $5. Bo pays $5. And we all just, you know, go after top three, get the, you know, the money. And so you can actually have little games that are more community based instead of these huge, outrageous, you know, 300,000 people tournaments, which that's not where you're. What I did was not lucky necessarily, because yeah, I mean, the players had to catch the ball, everything had to align, but it's not typical, let's just say that. You're not just gonna put 50 cents in and win 5k and be like, hey, there you go. You know, I didn't do that last year. I did it 2 years ago. So it's something I tried to do last year even more than I did the year before, and it was harder to do last year. So but playing with your friends, going head to head, doing those smaller things, and strategy wise what you can do is you can tailor your builds to those opponents. So when you play head to head, you don't need to score a million points. You don't need to go for broke, as they say, with certain players who are up and down. And you know, kind of those players we speak of. Whereas last year Cooper Kupp was steady. You had him up and down. You know, Mike Evans, steady, pretty good. Other players, not so, they're up and down, you know, all year long. And so boom or bust guys, we love those. The Elijah Moores, maybe get you 3 points, might get you 30 points near the end of the season and blow the roof off. And so you're really looking in these games for how you can differentiate your build to the competition that you're playing against. And the number of people that are in the tournament really does help you decide that. And so in head-to-head, for example, you're a little more safe. You're cash gaming it. What you're looking for is that you're not trying to make $5,000 or five times your money or 10. You're just trying to double your money. You're trying to
take
one person, really. So that's fun. And you can do it with a friend on DraftKings or even privately PayPal, however it is you play. You can play DraftKings free. Me and Bo, all our tournaments we did against each other were free. DraftKings didn't take our money. We just went back and forth. And then at the end, he had to buy me a nice bottle of scotch, which I haven't bought yet. I'm going to buy it before the season starts, and I'm going to put it in and just let everybody know this is the bottle Bo bought me. And I'm going to sip a little sip each time, like the tiniest little sip. And be like, oh, it's so good, Bo. Oh, so good. So, you know, yeah, we like to give each other a hard time. I'm not going to lie.
No, well, that's the beauty of fantasy football. And so some of the times you'll listen to these DFS shows and some of the guys are, you know, they're talking about contrarian lineups and those kind of things. So when you're talking about a contrarian lineup, what does that mean? And what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so one thing you'll hear thrown around is ownership, how many people are on to players each week. And so one of my friends and one of the best DFS minds in the game, Sal Vetri, does a show each week where he does, you know, I think our Thursday, Friday show, where he just talks about players that are not owned. They're under-owned and they're undervalued by the community. So where the money is kind of going, there's projections that do this, different sites, optimizers you can kind of sign up for. It's not just on DraftKings, how many people are you know, signing up for those players or putting them in their builds, but you can kind of see where the energy is going based on how the week is unfolding and where the value is for players. And so really a contrarian lineup is if everybody is going after Deontay Johnson, maybe you don't love Chase Claypool in this game per se. But if 90% of the people are on, you know, Deontay Johnson, there's a don't miss out on it opportunity, maybe. Like, you got don't overlook it. It's just going to happen. Or there's an opportunity to maybe take somebody else, maybe Pat Freiermuth in that game. And you go, there's going to be, oh, he caught two touchdowns in that game. And Deontay didn't do that, right? Well, that's because there was some value. You knew there was something was going to happen in that game. The defense was weak. They were up against. There was a mismatch. You didn't know where it was going to unfold. And everybody just assumed it was Deontay. You can be contrarian and find a different angle in the same game even. Or you can go completely differently and go, I love, you know, this week I love Chris Godwin, or I love somebody else who's underlooked and people are not seeing this that I'm seeing. And he's the same price as this other person who's really you know, owned by the community and really kind of over put up there. And then a lot of times being contrarian just means that you're not going along with the crowd. As the crowd rushes to change their lineups based on an injury or whatever it is. So it's vague. I'm not trying to nail down. It's not my thesis right there, but I'll say that, you know, you're trying to avoid just doing everything. The chalkiness and chalk in this sense is that everybody is aligned and you're all the same and there's not a difference in your lineup. You don't want that. You need, and particularly if you're in those bigger tournaments, you want to have more differentiation. But when you're doing cash, who cares? Cash, you're one person. None of that matters. The ownership doesn't matter. Yeah. So if you're doing head-to-head and someone's like, oh, he's 70% owned, who cares? Are you going, is your opponent have him? That's all you care about.
Yep. No, and to your point, you know, you could see a guy score three touchdowns, but if everybody has that player, you're not going to move up. Right. But if Chase Claypool scores and you're one of the 10%, that you're going to be moving up and the Deontay people are going to be staying still. And that's how you leapfrog people and make the big difference. So I love how you differentiate between cash games and your tournaments. So let's give one last shout out to some of the sponsors and then get into the mock draft. Yeah. Again, we got to talk about IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to truly make all my searches private and secure my internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communication, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing your speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go anywhere without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You don't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use the promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And don't forget about Dave, not me. Dave, you've leveled with me. You've all been in a situation where you know, at one point in your life where you're tight on cash. Maybe you could only afford a few gallons of gas or don't know what to get for the next save the date or birthday. That's where Dave can help. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can really be stressful. Then, you know, more stressful and unexpected expenses come up. Now, Dave can help you out in a pinch when you really need it. Hindsight is always 20/20, but you can't change the past. What you can always do is help your future self. And if you did so, maybe you'd ask for a little bit of cash. Now you can with Dave. Dave is a banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses without stressing you out. There's no interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they needed with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as helping your future self. Download the Dave app from the App Store. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member of the FDIC. Your future will thank you. Let's get on to the mock draft. And another sponsor of the show is Sleeper. So we're going to do it by Sleeper. Got to get this out of the way. And you picked from the sixth spot. I'm from the 12th spot. This is a PPR redraft, one quarterback. Let's get this thing started.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's what I'm going to say. I had the sixth pick in the Scott Fish Bowl, and it's a little different format. It's a 2QB format. So I have not really drafted that many mock drafts. My second mock draft of a 1QB set here. And I'm really excited. So I did it from the sixth spot again. Just because I want to kind of just see the difference and understand 1QB and players would be coming off the board a lot sooner, and I'm not adjusted to it. So this will be good for me to kind of get some data. So right now, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Gonzo off the board. So I'm left here with Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson. Now, I do think the Rams offense is going to be incredible this year, and I do like it. I think Cooper Kupp can be almost as effective, but not as effective. I mean, it's really incredible what he did last year. Robert Woods was not there. They have Allen Robinson now, and I think they're going to run the football a little bit more. Hopefully, Cam Akers healthy. So I'm going to go wild crazy here, and I'm going to go Justin Jefferson because I love that they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. In as is how it's going to go, I know that. I've heard the rumors, so I listen to rumors.
Yeah, and so I actually put this out on TikTok. If Jonathan Taylor is off the board, you're sitting at 102, who do you pick? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people are commenting, you know, Christian McCaffrey, some Dalvin Cook, some Cooper Kupp. I had a bunch of different answers. And, you know, at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you are mock drafting because you want to know, how does it play out when I take Christian McCaffrey? Mm-hmm. Or how does it play out if I go Justin Jefferson? What if you go Justin Jefferson at 102 or Cooper Kupp at 102? Are you going to be able to get good running backs at the 211 and 302? Well, I'd rather figure that out in a free mock draft with Scott than be doing a $50 or a $1,500 league and realize, yeah, I probably should have went running back. So I'm going to take Stephon Diggs here. I still think Stephon Diggs with Josh Allen is in for a bounce back year. Not that he had a bad year last year, but I still think he's going to be an absolute stud. And I think this is going to be the year for DeAndre Swift. It's the dynasty player in me, but I didn't want to go without getting a running back there at the turn, not knowing what's going to come back to me. So I just want to review the first round, and then we'll get to Scott's pick. Jonathan Taylor went 101, Austin Eckler went 102, Christian McCaffrey 103, Derrick Henry 104, Dalvin Cook 105. Scott broke the running back run, went Justin Jefferson 106, then Cooper Kupp went 107. Najee Harris 108, Travis Kelce 109, Ja'Marr Chase 110, Joe Mixon 111, and then I went Stephon Diggs 112 and DeAndre Swift at 201. Scott, you're on the clock.
Okay, so after that, Nick Chubb, Lamb, who I love, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and Mark Andrews all point, 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 point. Here's what I'm feeling right now, and maybe this is not accurate, but it doesn't look right now. I don't know. Have you heard anything about Alvin Kamara being suspended lately? I've heard a lot of nothing about him being suspended.
Yeah, a lot of nothing. You know, there was a comment about, you know, there is a video out there, and, you know, I think if the video was out there, we probably would have seen it. But I was actually talking to Michael F. Florio, and I asked him, did you see the Chase Claypool video last year? And he said, no, I haven't seen it. I said, exactly. Last year, Chase Claypool kicked a dude in the face. Have you seen it, Scott?
No, first I've heard. I didn't know.
Yeah, it was on like Pro Football Network, and it got a little bit of press. He got nothing, no suspension, nothing. And there was video of him literally kicking a dude in the face, and, you know, a little scrap, you know, with his buddies after the bar.
Right.
So I don't see a 6-game suspension, and they may not even meet until November. So we may not get a resolution in this. But you know, a lot of these things, unless it's domestic violence or drugs, you're probably not going to see a suspension, and most likely they're going to settle it out of court, and Alvin Kamara's going to be fine, in my opinion.
I agree with you, and I think if he falls in your draft, you can scoop him up for sure. Now, here's the thing. I will say this. I love Aaron Jones this year too, though. And this is kind of the dilemma, right? And I have not gotten to this. This is the bridge I didn't know I had to cross. I didn't think I'd get here, which is, you know, unfortunate. I should have thought ahead. But I do also have Debo on the board as well. If you want to go big stud, you know, zero RB, Denny Carter all the way, Justin Jefferson, Debo would you know, make it move, as George said. So, I don't know, man. This is tricky. I'm, you know what? I'm going to go Alvin Kamara. I'm just going to just take the plunge. I went, yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, man, I thought I turned the sounds off, but we did not do that, and they gave it to you.
They didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, you're back on the clock. We talked about the second round. DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Mark Andrews, Alvin Kamara, Josh Allen, Aaron Jones did not come back to you. Javonte Williams, Debo Samuel, who you also considered, and then Saquon Barkley. Third round, we have Cheeseburger Lenny, or is he? What's Leonard Fournette these days? 245. What do you think?
No, he's a happy meal.
We got Leonard Fournette 301, James Conner 302, Mike Evans 303, Patrick Mahomes 304, T Higgins at 305. Scott is back on the clock.
I'm disappointed. I was going to sell my soul for Mike Evans. And man, if he could have come back to me, you know, that's my biggest disappointment right now. I'm not going to lie. You know, speaking of disappointments, Kyle Pitts, a little bit of a disappointment last year. He didn't find the end zone, right? It was not working for him. I have a chance now to pick him. This is a regular, you know, it's not like a Scott Fish thing where you get like 1,000 points extra for tight end. Right. You know,
nope.
So, but I also have AJ Brown available to me as well, which is very interesting. In this situation, I'm going to lean AJ Brown. I'm going to do that. And you know, I like AJ a lot this year. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And what people might push back at you on and say, well, what about, you know, the situation over there with Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith? Any concerns about the, you know, I mean, he's never really got a lot of volume over there. But any concerns about, you know, him fitting that offense?
Let me ask you a question. I don't. Here's the thing. You didn't have an A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is not the exact same as Debo Samuel, but you're not going to tackle that guy one-on-one out there. He's a hoss, right? We've seen the whole Ravens team a couple years ago could not tackle him. He can pinpoint the ball, high point the ball in the air with his huge monster hands. He can – you don't bother him. You're like a gnat up there, right? So I'm not afraid. The people who are like, well, you know, he is not going to get a lot of volume. He doesn't need that much volume. He needs like 3 or 4 plays. And with, you know, Devonta Smith on the other side, that's great. somebody's going to be open, right? Somebody's got to be open, right? And it only helps Jalen Hurts too. So, you know, if it gets back to me, I might have to take Jalen Hurts. Ah, I don't want to spill my beans.
Well, yeah, we won't do that. Luckily, it's only me here, and we'll see about the, you know, what I end up doing with Jalen Hurts. So here, you know, I like some of the running backs that came back to me. I think, you know, there's some receiver depth that I need to go get a running back here. I like, you know, some of the receivers coming up in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. But, you know, Cam Akers going a little bit, you know, a little bit questionable here with Cam Akers and Swift going with the upside. And then I have the, you know, I have Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin. A little bit questionable quarterback play for both those guys. I got George Kittle if I want to go tight end here.
Yep.
And, you know, the tight ends are kind of going off the board. I think there's a big drop-off after you have, you know, George Kittle and Dalton Schultz. But you're going to get quite a bit of volume here with David Montgomery. So it's just interesting. I'm not going to think George Kittle and Schultz make it back to me. So I'm going to go with the Kittle here and get my short my tight end early.
I like it. I like it. I was going to go Kittle if he got back, if he, you know, made it to me for sure. So Kittle in the fourth, that's a really good value.
Yeah, pencil that one down.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's a winner. Okay, so for me now, I've got Justin Jefferson, Alvin Kamara, and AJ Brown. So I've got a number one and maybe a number one, right? Maybe two wide receiver ones here, maybe possibly. So I don't need to kind of push too hard there. Some little frustrating news, honestly, out of camp. James Robinson apparently is back. Excuse me as I get a drink real quick. What's up with that? What's going on there? I mean, good for him, bad for fantasy.
Yeah. They talked about it today on, you know, Fantasy Footballers. And, you know, kind of Chris Godwin is also back. And, you know, we don't know what that means, you know, like, just because that they did, you know, it's a good thing for them and a good positive sign that they're going to be ready to go, right, that they were not put on the PUP. But just because you're not on the PUP does not mean that you're going to be going to a full practice with contact and all those things. And, you know, running on the sideline, doing individual drills is a lot different than, you know, going and trying to go one-on-one with Aaron Donald.
Yeah. You're not Penei Sewell, by the way. I love Penei Sewell. I watched a clip of him yesterday just manning on Aaron Donald, talking shit to him, getting in his face. I want to see if they play this year. I don't know. I'll look at my magic crystal ball. If they play this year, I want to see Penei Sewell pancake Aaron Donald. Because, listen, no offense to Aaron Donald. He's a champion and all that little short man anger he's got. He fights people. Like, he tries to fight people too. Like, he does it in practice during preseasons with people that are open practices with other scrimmage practices, they call them. He does it then. He did it at the Cowboys, I think. And the Cowboys rookie grabbed him and suplexed him, and I got an erection. I was going to say, sorry, to the kids, because nothing against Aaron Donald. I don't like aggressive guys who try to fight you, right, and who are just being that way. I like it when you play football and you're aggressive. That's fine. I'm super hyper. I knocked a guy out almost in the turkey bowl, right? Just going nuts on him. Big rugby player. I hit him so hard. I was going, ah! My friends need to hey, Scott, calm down, right? Calm down. That's not what we're doing here. So I get it, but still, all right. I'm still disappointed in this situation.
There's a difference between being aggressive and being a bully. And, you know, when these guys are just looking to, you know, bully everybody else, it's good when someone stands up to them.
All right, so I like it. So anyway, I'm going to jump over here. It's hard. The running back was taken right one pick for me, Breece Hall. I like him a lot this year. I would have taken him. But you know what? You got to pivot. You got to do a little something, a little pivot. I'm pivoting over to Michael Pittman. I think Michael Pittman has a chance to do a lot of damage this year. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I like that pick. There's a couple guys that, you know, I was probably a little naive to think they would make it back to me. But, you know, I like Mike Williams a lot this year. Obviously, Michael Pittman, I think he's in for a monster year. You know, so just to go through the fourth round, George Kittle went 401, David Montgomery 402, Deontay Johnson 403, Antonio Gibson 404, Terry McLaurin 405, Breece Hall, like you mentioned, 406, then Michael Pittman at 407, picked by Scott, Jalen Waddle 408, Lamar Jackson 409. Team 4 must have forgotten. This is a one quarterback league. Travis Etienne 410, Mike Williams 411, DK Metcalf 412. Then fifth round, Josh Jacobs 501, Jerry Jeudy 502. So Jeudy went before Sutton. I actually looked at the lines yesterday. I was kind of looking at like what the DK Sportsbook had, and they have Jeudy and Sutton very close, but they have Jeudy, his line is about 10 more catches, about 20 more yards, and a touchdown more than Courtland Sutton. So I did post what all the rookie numbers were. Treylon Burks, it was actually the top for everything, was interesting. But yeah, you know, check out Dynasty Dorks on Twitter if you want to see that. But Amari Cooper, J.K. Dobbins, and then Scott's up.
All right. So in this situation, I'm open to do anything, right? I can go running back, tight end. So let's look and see what we're looking at. Quarterback, Joe Burrow is available. I like Joey B this year for sure. Running back, it's a bit of a hodgepodge. It's like the dead man zone, right? This is running back dead zone here. You got Elijah Mitchell, who, you know, I think Kyle Shanahan is going to use him until he bruises him, honestly. Like, that's kind of how his strategy is, right? So burn him into the ground. I'm not worried about anything but him getting injured. Like, and if, that's what happens to NFL players, right? So if I'm going to go Elijah Mitchell, I'm going to know he's going to play. He's going to be there. He's in a good offense. I like that as well. I don't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, not a big fan of. I do like A.J. Dillon, though. I'm not going to lie to you. A.J. Dillon, he does it for me. He gets it going. But, you know, this is hard. I've not done this. I'm going to go quarterback. And I'm going to go Joe Burrow. I can't not go Joe Burrow, right? I had to go.
All right.
Yeah, I had to. Did they didn't like it, or they like it?
What, they didn't say anything. I'm so mad. I'm kind of happy that A.J. Dillon went, because then I did not take your pick that you told me.
Yeah.
But I definitely was thinking about him. I'm going to go with Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Nice.
I really was hoping that A.J. Dillon would make it back here. I think Hollywood Brown is in a great spot with, you know, Kyler Murray's obviously going to be studying. Mm. He's going to be watching a lot of film. So Marquise Brown is going to be the benefactor. I think he gets a deal soon. They're obviously doing everything they can to make Kyler Murray happy, by giving him a big contract, lots of money, and bringing over his buddy. And I don't really know if DeAndre Hopkins is ever going to be DeAndre Hopkins again. You know, he's had kind of a rough couple years with injuries, and now he's got the suspension. It's just, you know, it's, you don't want to miss half a game of your year 30 season. And he's not necessarily been he's not one of those guys that, you've had that 4.4 speed and all that stuff. He's not going to do that. And before we, you know, before we go into the next part, we're going to show some more love to WynnBET. So Wynn, again, make sure you get down on Wynn's Bet 50 to win $200 promotion, where $50 in bets qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes it the best place to bet MLB. And don't forget about the ultimate fantasy football experience. It's not too late to join. Bet $500 plus on sports or casino before July 31st. You get entered to win in the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much you can choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Claim your free bets today. Offer subject to change. Terms condition at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in a state where Wynn Play or play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please have them call 1-800-522-4700. And again, don't forget about the SGPN Discord. Make sure you check out the new Discord server. The perfect place to interact and sweat the bets with the entire SGPN crew. Just go to the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Dalton Schultz did make it back, so I really would have probably went ETN if I knew Schultz would have got back to me, but he didn't. Let's see what running backs are available. Ugh, it's ugly, ugly, terrible. Ugly out there.
Gross.
Quarterbacks, yeah, Jalen Hurts is right there. But I'm going to go with a receiver here, and I think Allen Robinson. I hear he's eating some breakfast with Matthew Stafford.
That's all you got to do is eat breakfast with him. That's how it works.
Yeah. So the sixth round, Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Miles Sanders, Kenneth Walker, actually Ken Walker, TJ Hockenson, Adam Thielen, and Scott is on the clock.
You know, I like Dalton Schultz too. I went Dalton Schultz. Yeah.
Yeah, I got Dalton Schultz and Scott Fish. I probably got him a little early. I was at the beginning. I was pick 101. So you kind of gotta, when you're at the one, you kind of gotta take a leap on some of these things, and you get ahead of the run.
That's true.
There was no run. So I just jumped out, got Dalton Schultz, and then no tight ends were picked before my next pick, and like 20 receivers. So I was pretty pissed, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. And you know what? It is what it is. In Cleveland as well. And who knows what it is in Cleveland? It's not good. How does that make you feel about Kareem Hunt? He's up. He's the next queued up running back. And I only have an Alvin Kamara in my queue. What do you think about the Brown situation?
I like Kareem Hunt. I think there's a good situation there for him. I mean, they're probably going to have Brissett for at least a couple weeks, maybe half the season but Kareem Hunt was getting so much work at the beginning of the year before he got hurt. He was getting 14 or 15 touches a game, and you're lucky to get some of these other guys, they're lucky to get that. And he was getting it on a per game basis. He was a high end RB2. He's got some upside if Nick Chubb were to go down. I think, in the 7th, 8th round, Kareem Hunt is a steal.
Yeah, I like it too. And the only other person I really love there too is Tony Pollard as well. I think that Zeke is on the decline. I know Zeke wants to eat, but I think this year is going to be a nice year for Tony Pollard. I'm not going to say he outscores him, but I think the gap gets narrowed for sure in my mind. But I'm going to go Kareem Hunt because I think they're going to be losing some of those games, and you're going to need to be able to throw the football out of the backfield.
Yeah. Andrew Erickson called Zeke a landmine today.
Oh, I love that, Eric. That's
talked terrible. About him in the draft, and he's got him. He's kind of ranked at RB25. Which is definitely not in line with ECR or ADP. But they're like, why do you do that? He's like, I just don't want people to draft him. I think he's just a landmine out there. And I know that everyone's going to point to the fact that he's never had a season outside of the top 12. He said, but, he's not going to have a season outside of the top 12 until he does. And it's more than likely going to happen sooner than later. He's got a lot of wear and tear in his body. He's got a lot of carries over the last couple of years. And Tony Pollard obviously looks like the better back when he's on the field.
Are you going to take him? Is that what you're telling me now? Okay.
I'm going to go with Batman.
That's a good pick, though.
And take him. Tony Pollard would be in consideration, but I'm going to go Devin Singletary here. And we'll see. I like getting running backs on good offenses. And he currently is a starter, and Tony Pollard is not.
Oh, I like that too. That's a good point. But Tony Pollard made it back to me. So, but then also Elijah Moore is also over here as well. And it's become, he's not coming back to me either. And I do love his explosive 4.3 speed. It's a game changer. What would you do in this situation if we're not in this league together and you're in my shoes? Are you leaning Elijah Moore? Are you leaning Tony P?
It really would come down to the roster build. I like Elijah Moore and Gabriel Davis better in this. Oh, Gabriel Davis off more already. Like Elijah Moore better, but you only have two running backs, and so that's where I'd probably lean running back here.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull the trigger on Pollard, and then just cry as Elijah Moore gets picked.
Yeah, there he goes.
Oh, God, why? Oh.
All right, so let's go. We didn't cover the last couple rounds. So we had Jalen Hurts go 701, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tom Brady at 703. Drake London was the first rookie receiver off the board. DeAndre Hopkins went at 705, Kareem Hunt 706 by Scott. Treylon Burks, 707. Russell Wilson, 708. Dak Prescott, 709. Cordarrelle Patterson, 710. Gabriel Davis, 711. And then I took Rashad Bateman and Devin Singletary. Aaron Rodgers went 802. Then we had Devonta Smith, 803. Tyler Lockett, Chase Edmonds, Matthew Stafford. Scott took Tony Pollard, Dallas Goedert, and then we have Elijah Moore, Hunter Renfrow, Zach Ertz, and Dawson Knox. We had Rashad Penny, Trey Lance, who I was kind of hoping was still on the board. Not on the board. Scott and I, actually, you got a quarterback. I'm the only one without a quarterback. Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk, and then Chris Olave. I put this question out there, Scott. Well, who do you think is going to be the top rookie receiver? I think everyone kind of thinks Breece Hall is going to be the top rookie, you know, rookie overall. Who's going to be the top rookie receiver this year?
You know, if Jameis Winston stays alive the whole year, it could be Chris Olave. It really could. So yeah. I'm going to lean in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Olave's in the best spot. I think London gets a lot of volume, but I don't think he gets a lot of scoring opportunities. I'm kind of like we saw with Kyle Pitts last year, a whole lot of yards, but not a lot of touchdowns. And it's Marcus Mariota, so it's you know, the target's going to be less quality than what it was last year with Ryan. It could be even worse if they switch to, you know, have a rookie go in there with Desmond Ridder as they try to figure it out. I like Olave's situation better than I do London's or Burks.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I'm going James Cook.
Nice. Yeah, and with Cook, Singletary, you know, one of those guys is going to be fantasy relevant. We just got to figure out which one it's going to be. And, you know, with James Cook, you're looking at somebody that has, you know, some really good pass catching ability on an offense that, you know, passed, you know, one of the highest pass volume offenses in the league last year.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm going to take Derek Carr. I like the additions that they had on the offense. You know, I know Carr's never thrown for more than 32 touchdowns in his career. But he's also never had Davante Adams. He's got Davante Adams, Darren Waller, and I think it's very underrated. You got to have a good play caller, and Josh McDaniels. You know, whether we like him or not, whether he's, you know, an a-hole for what he did to the Colts, he's still been a very good play caller.
Sure.
And you know, I think that's going to be a very good offense and a very competitive division. All right, so this is where it gets a little difficult, and I'm going to go with one of my favorite rookies, Isaiah Spiller.
Tell me more. I'm interested.
Yeah, so you don't love the draft capital, but I love the landing spot. So Isaiah Spiller, you know, he didn't have that blazing combine that people were looking for, and so people kind of fell off the train. Originally, it was Isaiah Spiller or Breece Hall, who's the, you know, the best running back. And, you know, when the combine hit, Spiller, you know, lost his mojo. But when it comes down to it, he's on the Chargers, one of the best offenses, or projected to be best offense in the league. They've been looking for somebody to complement Austin Eckler. And Joe Lombardi is, you know, he helped implement that Saints offense that had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. They've tried to find a counterpart to Eckler, and they've just been unsuccessful. Mm. And I think Spiller is a perfect piece. There's no way, you know, you're going to see 20 touchdowns from Austin Eckler this year.
I agree.
That regression is going to come down. I think Spiller's going to be a big piece of that. I think Spiller can work his way into a every week flex in this offense. And if Austin Eckler were to go down, he could be one. He's one play away from a massive opportunity.
Mm, I like it. The way the board's fallen to me, I went wide receiver three out of my first four picks. But I need more wide receivers now because I've abandoned them for five rounds. So I'm gonna go. I can't believe he's still able. Christian Kirk.
Follow the money. Follow the money.
Him this year in the little 10th round. Oh, it's a steal.
So we had James Cook 906, Pat Freiermuth 907, Robert Woods 908, James Robinson 909, Chase Claypool 910, Ramondre Stevenson. A lot of people are getting excited about him. At the 9/11 spot, fantasy footballers talked about him today. You like Stevenson?
No, that's early in this. That's a bit of a reach, I think.
Well, he's starting to get a lot of hype. He's coming up on rankings. Some people think he could take Harris's job. Some people think he's going to, you know, James White's not going to be ready to go. But people are getting excited. I had Marcus Grant on the show, and he brought Ramondre Stevenson out as a breakout candidate.
I like him as a breakout candidate, but in the ninth round, you're paying up a little bit.
Yeah, you're definitely. I mean, these are some starters. You know, you're looking at Brandon Ayuk and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, Robert Woods.
I mean, Robert Woods is going to be healthy. It looks like
Most likely the number one there in Tennessee. So, I got Derek Carr at 912, Isaiah Spiller at 1001. We talked about him. Michael Carter, Melvin Gordon. I mean, Gordon was pretty solid last year, and he's been kind of ignored.
True.
So you know, at the 10, that's a pretty interesting pick. There's Tony at 1004. Michael F. Florio, if you listen to him, he's going to try to sell you on Kadarius Tony. And, you know, at the price tag you're getting him at, I'm buying.
Yeah.
Ronald Jones, 1005. Russell Gage, 1006. I wonder if the Julio Jones thing is going to switch Russell Gage's ADP a little bit.
What happened with Julio? I've been going to the cardiologist today.
Oh, well, Julio Jones signed with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, that's sexy.
He needed a breaking news drop. Right. Christian Kirk, 1007 to Scott. Alan Lazard, 1008. Mike Gesicki at 1009. Christian Watson, 1010. Sky Moore, 1011. Damian Pierce, 1012. This is where a lot of the rookies are flying off the board. MVS, 1101. Alexander Mattison, 1102. Cole Kmet, 1103. Michael Gallup, 1104. Tyler Boyd, 1105. And Scott, 1106.
Okay, I gotta think about this a little bit, but you know, I don't like to do a double QB right now. You know, I don't like to draft the second QB really. I'll pick somebody up later if I need it, if it's like desperate times. But I like to leave with a plethora of running backs and wide receivers. Like it gets me excited. That's how I do it. So let me talk about what I need right now. I've got a good, you know, stable 4 and 4. I'm not even going to dip into the tight end world right now. I don't really need to worry about that. I'm looking to see who's available. There's some value on the table. You know who I like this year? I just drafted the guy who took, you know, his money and ran, or the spot that he's going to fill. Now it's Rondale Moore in Arizona. He should be in the Christian Kirk role in the first couple months without, you know, month and a half, whatever it is, without our boy DeAndre. It's a bit of a value. They're probably going to ding me because I'm reaching a little bit, but it's the later rounds. Once you reach past round 10, you can kind of play with house money. So I'm going to go Rondale Moore.
Hey, they didn't ding you for it. And, you know, Rondale Moore is very interesting. You know, a lot of people last year, you know, they were excited about him as a rookie. And, you know, obviously he let people down.
Yes, he did.
But at the end of the day, like, there's rookie receivers, like, not everybody's Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson. It takes time. And, you know, with him getting everybody out of the way, everyone's talking about Zach Ertz and Marquise Brown. Who's after that? You got A.J. Green, who's another year older, and you have Rondale Moore. And so I could just, you know, I think that you're going to see him get more involved in the offense. And I hope you can see him downfield and not just on some of this gadget stuff.
Right.
You know, but we'll see. So, so we talked a little bit about Leonard Fournette earlier, and you know, I'm going to take Rashad White.
Nice.
Not only with the Leonard Fournette situation with, you know, his weight and things like that, but you also got to look at the fact that, you know, they were trying to find a pass catcher last year and they couldn't. You know, Leonard Fournette got 80 plus targets. Gio Bernard had 30 plus targets. Rojo had, you know, like 20 targets. He can't even catch and they're throwing the ball.
Right.
So Rashad White, he profiles as a great pass catcher. A lot of people, you know, compare him to, you know, look, somewhat of a David Johnson type of a player. He's definitely, you know, another guy that's one injury or one play away from a big opportunity. But if he gets that pass catching role, you know, he's another one that has some upside. And I'm going to double up with running backs here. I'm going to protect my investment. I got Cam Akers. Might as well get some insurance. Darrell Henderson.
All right. Whew. I was worried my guy was going to get taken. You ever have a guy and you're like, computer, don't you dare snipe me?
Yeah. When you look at your board and you know that, like, your heart's going to drop if somebody takes that guy, you better go scoop him up as soon as you get on the clock. Let's give one last shout out to some of the sponsors and then get into the mock draft.
Yeah.
Again, we got to talk about IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to truly make all my searches private and secure my internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communication, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing your speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go anywhere without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You don't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use a promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And don't forget about Dave, not me. Dave, you've leveled with me. You've all been in a situation where you've, you know, at one point in your life where you're tight on cash. Maybe you could only afford a few gallons of gas or don't know what to get for the next save the date or birthday. That's where Dave can help. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can really be stressful. Then, you know, more stressful and unexpected expenses come up. Now Dave can help you out in a pinch when you really need it. Hindsight is always 20/20, but you can't change the past. What you can always do is help your future self. And if you did so, maybe you'd ask for a little bit of cash. Now you can with Dave. Dave is a banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses without stressing you out. There's no interest, no credit card, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they needed with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as helping your future self. Download the Dave app from the App Store. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member of the FDIC. Your future will thank you.
This year, I'm taking a guy who last year you saw him be effective in the passing game for a team that wants to run the football. And I took a teammate of his, A.J. Brown, earlier. I really do love Kenny Gainwell, man. I'm not going to lie. He's somebody who I'm hoping I'll get a ding on, but okay, didn't get a ding on. I like him. I'm going to have him on most of my squads if I can get him in the 12th round. You know, just what that's going to be. I like Marlon Mack, too. Marlon Mack was there. That was the decision for me. If I'm going to get that running back, Marlon Mack or Gainwell. I went Gainwell because he was solely the passing back, right? And he had a little goal line work here and there, but really, if they're going to throw the football to the running back, it's probably going to be him. And I love that because you're going to see Jalen Hurts scrambling and dambling around.
Well, let me ask you about a running back that went in the 11th round. So Tyler Allgeier went in the 11th round, 1108. And so I was looking at ECR versus ADP and just trying to find some values in the sense of, you know, the experts are obviously telling us that this guy is higher or lower than ADP.
Right.
Allgeier was 8 spots higher in ADP than he was in the expert consensus rankings. He was the biggest quote unquote reach. Mm. What are your thoughts? Is he a reach or is he a value at the 16th spot in your rookie drafts?
I don't know how that offense is going to play out with Marcus Mariota and Ritter there too. I don't know what it's going to look like in the fully formed, baby boy or whatever that is. That's this year. I don't know. So I'm a little hesitant to maybe go all in on him. I liked your pick of Rashad White a lot in that round. He's out of the rookies. I think Spiller. I'd rather have Spiller. There's a couple. I don't hate him. You know, if he's there, you need somebody in that round. And you don't have a running back, and you've kind of gone zero RB. He's definitely a good candidate. But you know, they like to put Cordell Patterson in the backfield down in the red zone because he is a beast. And so I watched him run for 3 touchdowns against the Washington football team, or catch 3 touchdowns and run for like the man just is a vulture. And so just know that maybe there's going to be some inconsistency there, and there's not a lot of touchdown equity for my money in the offense for him at this point. Maybe upside of 6. So 6 is not that many for a running back if you're going to be targeting him. So when are those 6 touchdowns going to come? Are you going to be able to play him? Are you going to play him then? Do you know how they're going to be? So I'd rather go for a bigger upside play in that round.
Yeah, I mean, you look at these ups, you know, like we'll say they're short yardage backs. It's very tough if you're the short yardage back on a team that is expected to lose a lot of games.
Yes.
And negative game scripts will definitely write him off of the, you know, of the game plan when the Falcons are down 21-0 or you know, 21-7 at halftime of every single game. So that's where, you know, you see more of the Cordero Patterson, the JD McKissick, the Hines, when they're having to come from behind.
Yeah. And also you got to think about Mariota, if he is going to, you know, start the whole season, he likes to, you know, do little options and little quarterback reads and the play. He might take it in himself a few times, which cuts into touchdown equity.
Absolutely.
Too. And you can't draft people based on touchdowns. Even people like Austin Eckler and JT and stuff like that. You have a range of touchdowns they might score. So, I mean, Algiers' range might be from 0 or 1 to 6. That's probably the maximum upside, probably, just given the amount of role. Unless, of course, there's an injury, Cordell Patterson goes down for the year, something like that. Then people, that just all changes. So I don't want somebody to go, I listened to this 6 months ago and he got hurt. No. We're talking about things play out how they are. His role in the offense, like you said, is about opportunity, and I don't know if he has that much. Where Marlon Mack, even the next round, him and Pierce, we're going to see what happens, but there's an opportunity, at least for both of them, to have some upside, because they will be sucking, and they'll be throwing the football for sure, you know.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
Oh, it's me. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're pontificating there. All right, so we're in the 13th round. Noah Fant, Tim Patrick, David Njoku, JD McKissick, Trevor Lawrence. Ooh, the T. Lawrence just went off the board. Looking at my choices here, they're ugly. I mean, it's oh man, it's like redheaded stepkid ugly here. You know, sorry, I mean that's a joke. That's an old hockey joke from the long time. My brother's redhead and he is a stepson. So. I'm kidding. Joey, don't sue me, please. I love my brother. All right, here's what I'm gonna do. As I'm looking out here, I went Gainwell last time. I don't have to go tit for tat back and forth, but I'm going to go Jalen Tolbert. I have Jalen Tolbert on every single one of my teams, my Scottish team, my Warrior Bowl team, this mock draft, the last mock draft I did. He's in every single one of my teams so far. I have to put him on there, and I'll just tell you why. Because Michael Gallup, maybe he comes back, right? Maybe he's good to go. But guess what? There is still – three wide receivers were viable in the Dallas Cowboys offense last year. Cedric Wilson proved that with the money that he made in Miami. So Jalen Tolbert, as a rookie, if he lines up on the outside, he's a big boy. He's got big old 10-inch hands. Oh, he's got good, yak necessarily, but you know, contested catch. He's there. He's a big guy, and so he's able to body up. Not AJ Brown esque, but more. Physical than you want him to be if you're a DB, put it that way. You don't like it. It's not good.
I like the pick. And he was another guy that I pointed out as a value doing that exercise. Mm. And, you know, when it comes down to it, like you said earlier, it's opportunity. And Michael Gallup is not cleared for training camp, that, you know, some of these other guys are getting cleared. He had a very late ACL injury. He could miss the first 4 to 6 weeks. And the other guy on the depth chart is James Washington. I mean, at least Tolbert's going to be the third, but most likely the second option. And when Gallup gets back, he's still recovering from a major knee injury, and Tolbert's going to be the second or third. We saw times last year where Cedric Wilson shined in that offense, or a high pass volume offense. And unless they, you know, grab a Will Fuller or Cole Beasley or someone else to soak up some targets, he's in line for, you know, a good target share.
Yeah, and maybe you ride him in the beginning of the year and you don't use him that much after Michael Gallup comes, and you may end up maybe discarding him, but there'll be value. That offense just churns, and Dalton Schultz is in there too. So I'm just buying into the offense. I've got Dalton Schultz. I've got Jalen Tolbert. I have some equity in that Tony Pollard. So, you know, a lot of times you chase positional upside in offenses that feature those positions in places they get a lot of volume, you know?
Yep.
And so that's just kind of how I break down my build. So it's my pick again. You want to talk about yours though, because it went right back to me.
Yeah, real fast. So after you was George Pickens, Tyler Higbee, Mark Ingram, Devontae Parker, DJ Chark, and then I took Jameis Winston and Crowder. You know, I took Jameis Winston over Matt Ryan. Just I like the situation that Winston has better than what Ryan has. I do love Michael Pittman, but they're going to ride Jonathan Taylor. They're not going to expect Matt Ryan at hit this stage of his career to put up as much production in the air as he's been used to. But Jameis Winston, he's got weapons. And whether, you know, if Kamara's out there, it's going to be even better offense. And we've seen Jameis Winston's upside. And I'm going to, you know, bet on that for my second quarterback. And then Jamison Crowder is more of a safer pick. I don't hope to play him that much. I know I already have Diggs as my number one. But, you know, Cole Beasley's been getting 100-plus targets there in Buffalo. Crowder is going to be in that role. And as much as I love Gabriel Davis, Crowder's been a pretty solid, you know, when he's healthy, he's been a pretty solid slot guy. He's never had, you know, a quarterback like a Josh Allen. Put him in Josh Allen, put him in that Cole Beasley role, and let's hope for some upside in a PPR format.
Yeah, I like Winston because that boy can sling it. That's what he does. He might not be able to say it or dance it or like make the fingers, whatever he does, it's always weird, right? Until he throws the football, and then once the football leaves his hand, you're like, oh my God, look at it, it's beautiful. Right? All the other stuff up to that has just been, I watched him, by the way, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I think he was on the Buccaneers, play against the 49ers. He fumbled the ball twice on the same play. He got strip sacked. He picked up his own fumble, and he got effing strip sacked again. And I had him. He was on my team. That game, he also threw like three interceptions. And I was just like, holy crap. I'm down -8 points by Jameis. So anyway, I do up and down. It'll be for sure.
All right, your pick's up. I just realized I had the wrong screen up.
Okay, here we go. Justin Jefferson, still available. I had to go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was Van Jefferson.
Oh, sorry, Justin Jefferson. Van Jefferson. Sorry, I have Justin Jefferson. All right. I'm looking at Justin Jefferson. I picked Van Jefferson. In that offense, he's still there, right? I mean, and last year he was viable. I had him on my team. He was a nice flex option. So in the 14th round, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I will take some Van Jefferson for sure. He's not supposed to be better than Allen Robinson, so I'm not even worried about it. I just know he'll be there sometimes if I need him.
Yeah, and so a pick after that was Gus Edwards. Edwards is an interesting pick. I know he also tore his ACL around the same time as J.K. Dobbins, but he didn't have the same injury. J.K. Dobbins had injury to other parts of his knee when Gus Edwards had a clean ACL tear. Gus Edwards might be ready to go faster than J.K. Dobbins.
I love that.
And, you know, so that pick in the 14th round is great. And even if J.K. Dobbins is good to go, when those two were together before, Edwards was still getting 10 carries a game.
Yep. For sure.
So I like that pick in the 14th round. Tonyan at 14.09, Tyrion Davis Price 14.10. Kyle Shanahan might, you know, trick everybody and have him as the starter. Who knows? Alec Pierce 14.11, Hayden Hurst 14.12, Mac Jones 15.01. And then we have Jamal Williams at 15.02, Raheem Mostert 15.03, Brian Robinson 15.04. And I like the Deonta Foreman pick. I think he's going to be the handcuff to Christian McCaffrey, not Chuba Hubbard.
Oh yeah, no, Chuba. I love that pick. That's a really good pick. You know, there's nothing to lose right now. I mean, I'm in the later rounds. I'm just going to go Julio Jones, right?
Yeah, that's a fun one with the news that just came out. That's a fun one.
Nothing to do but get Julio. You know?
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to break that to you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go KJ Osborne here.
What a great pick. I should have gone KJ. I love him. That's a great pick.
With KJ Osborne, you know what, Thielen's been, you know, he's been up and down with injuries and things like that. You know, you could see KJ Osborne more involved, but this is also going to be a new offense, and I want to see how it looks and see how it features someone like KJ Osborne. I think it's going to be him or Irv Smith. I don't think both are going to be able to be that, you know, that fantasy relevant week to week. But I'll put my money on him. And then I'm going to shoot some upside here with Curtis Samuel. We've seen it from him in the past in that Scott Turner offense. I know they have Jahan Dotson, but we'll see. It's another team. You know, we'll see. What are your thoughts? You're there with Washington. What are your thoughts about Curtis Samuel?
You know, I drove home every day last year, and what the mill you hear on the Sports Talk Radio, which is 106.7 The Fan. Shout out The Fan here in D.C. Grant and Danny is the name of the show. Grant Paulson and Danny Ruye. They're both not household names, but they're pretty big here, right? They've got hundreds of thousands of followers on the tweeters. So they break sports news. And I think Danny Ruye got on the NBA Tonight Show with Charles Barkley. His impersonation of him was so good. So there's some local guys here. But every single day they'd be like, what'd Coach Ron Rivera say about Curtis Samuel? And then he'd be like, he's on the sidelines. He's not practicing. So it just became a running. It became a running joke. So I would say there's so much bias against Curtis Samuel that's been built up by Washington fans that he could be a really sneaky play if he's healthy. He is. We know he can score 200 fantasy points. He's done it before, right? Yeah. So I think that's a great moonshot right there. I love the KJ Osborne as well. A bunch of nobody running backs went after that, and Odell Beckham. And so it leaves me with, I think if you're in a draft and you're gonna, you know, wait on a tight end, you know, there's a couple different ones you can go for. I mean, I like Cameron Brate just being in the offense with Tom Brady. So I snagged him, you know.
Yeah, and I got Cameron Brate and Scott Fish. I know there's people that are not excited about that pick, but we've seen Brate, you know, we've seen him catch the Lombardi from Tom Brady, so there's some trust there. But we've seen him be, you know, fantasy relevant back when Jameis Winston was there and he got a big contract.
Right. It's just nobody else. It's about this is the thing. We all know that certain players are better than other players, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of shields us from, like, responsibility when they suck, right? We're like, oh, that guy's better than him. So that's why I said, no, it's opportunity, right? So I will say Cambry has an opportunity, and he's my second tight end, so I don't really need to do that much with him. You know, it's not like I'm leveraging my whole team. I've got Dalton Schultz. I think he'll get most of the starts in this game, but in this little mock league we're doing. But last pick of the draft, oh man, who is your last pick? There, oh, I got my last pick right now. My last pick is going to be Paris Campbell, the second wide receiver, nice. Matt Ryan, right? And I already have Michael Pittman, so I might as well double down in case one of them gets hurt. Now I've got, you know, the other one. So,
well, interesting pick right after you was Dearness Johnson. They were talking about it, you know, on one of the shows, and I think Fantasy Pros was talking about, you know, not only is he someone that could be the handcuff to Nick Chubb, but if they were to move on and trade Kareem Hunt, he would instantly gain value. Oh, or yeah. If they were to trade him, imagine Dearness Johnson went over to a backfield like Houston. He'd instantly be the starter. You know, there's situations where he could go, if a running back went down during the offseason, he could go over and be a starter somewhere. We've seen him, you know, play really well. Chris Carson was drafted. He actually retired today.
shout out Dave Kluge.
Yeah, he retired. Dontrell Hilliard, Chris Evans, David Bell, Evan Ingram, who I was looking at, and I was also looking at Austin Hooper, both went. Daniel Jones, Ryan Tannehill, Paris Campbell, Kendrick Bourne, Joshua Palmer. We have Robbie Anderson, Baker Mayfield, John Mechie. Unfortunate news this weekend. He's not going to play this season due to being diagnosed with leukemia. And then so my pick is up, and I need a second tight end. So it's going to be between Brevin Jordan and Logan Thomas.
Oh.
We've seen more of it from Logan Thomas. He does start out on the pup. So a little concerned, but I don't need him right away because I have George Kittle. So I'm going to go Logan Thomas. We know Carson Wentz has peppered tight ends in the past, and I'm just going to hope that it happens again. I like my team so much. We're going to convert this into a league. So Scott, let's talk about your team. You started out with Justin Jefferson, Alvin Kamara in the second round. Then you got AJ Brown, Michael Pittman. Your starting quarterback is Joe Burrow. Your starting tight end is Dalton Schultz. Then you have your second running back is Kareem Hunt. Then you have Tony Pollard, James Cook. Then your backup running back, or your backup receivers are Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore. You have backup running back Kenneth Gainwell. Then you have Van Jefferson, Julio Jones, Cameron Brate, and Paris Campbell.
And Jalen Tolbert, too.
Oh, and Jalen Tolbert.
So I think for me, I am kind of feeling my way through this draft. I'm not super happy about the quarterback tight end situation I went with there. Not that I'm against Joe Burrow, but I think I would like to wait a little bit later and get Hurts or Brady or just somebody, even Trey Lance, like you said. But I have Joe Burrow and Scott Fish, so there's just like, you know, I think I'm being drawn to him. Anyway, but not that I don't like Dalton Schultz either, but – you know, those are my two you know, picks I'm kind of not too sure about right in that heart of the round. I didn't have running backs, and because of that, I wasn't going to get the dead zone running backs like we talked about. Some of them just not the upside you want in that round. So I got to play through this. I like Kareem Hunt, Tony Pollard, and James Cook because they're all PPR backs. Same with Gainwell. Yep. I go after PPR backs. Same with Kamara, right? You're going to get more points that way. If you don't know this hack, you're not paying attention to Scott Barrett, and you're stupid because Scott Barrett told me to tell you this. So you got to target them. And the early news out of the Buffalo Bills camp is that they found their guy in the backfield when it comes to passing the football, and that's James Cook. Not that Devin Singletary won't tote the rock down at the goal line or whatever, but they need somebody to catch the football out of the backfield. They're high-paced, fast offense that moves the ball, and they go, go, go. And so I love that Cook pick as my RB4 because I'm sure he'll be flexed in this, if this is a real team, quite often. The wide receivers, Christian Kirk, to get him in the 10th round was a great value. And then the rest are just upsides, volume, particularly, second-year wide receivers, third-year wide receivers, and Julio, right? The old goat of the 2000s? What do you call those? The aughts, teens, the 2000s?
Yeah.
I don't even know, right?
Well, yeah, he's earlier than the late 1900s, but the early 2000s.
Yeah, whatever it was, back when he was, fighting Roddy White off for targets and all the crazy
time. I'll never forget. I was at a draft party. My buddy's a huge Browns fan. All he wanted was Julio Jones, and Browns were on the clock. The year after, they traded out for an opportunity to get Sammy Watkins, who he wanted. They traded out and didn't get Julio Jones and drafted three guys that were out of the league in 3 years.
Oh, yeah, but the Browns.
You got RB, RB2 by committee.
Yes.
It's very difficult to go early tight end and early quarterback, which is really that's why I kind of fade a tight end in my super flex leagues. And then I go early tight end in my one quarterback leagues. And it's just, it's hard. And you kind of saw that here, like you said, with the running backs. But I think you have a nice pairing of running backs there where you can kind of pick your poison. And with Kareem Hunt probably starting the season off, and then Tony Pollard and James Cook easily could take over their backfields at some point in the season, and they could end up being starters for you.
Yeah, that's the hope. So we'll see.
Well, so I went with Stephon Diggs with my first pick. Then I got DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers. Felt pretty good about my running backs there, so I went with George Kittle, knowing I could probably get some receivers back here. Was very happy to get Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman. Allen Robinson was a plus. Singletary, that was just kind of a value pick there in the eighth round. Not knowing what was going to come back to me. And I just took him over Pollard, but definitely thought about Pollard there as well. Waited on quarterback, got Derek Carr. I feel like I just like the options there. I really would have loved to get the upside of Trey Lance. But I feel like Derek Carr could easily be a QB1 this year with the situation he has with Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, and Hunter Renfrow. Went upside, high value handcuff running backs, protected my investment with Henderson. I always try to get my RB1s handcuff. You can't handcuff everybody, but I like to handcuff my RB1. The last thing I want is to face Scott. He's got Henderson and Akers is out. So then Isaiah Spiller, just a guy I've been targeting, Rashad White. And then Jameis Winston's my QB2. Jameson Crowder, KJ Osborne, Curtis Samuel are my bench receivers. And then Logan Thomas finishes up the roster. Would have liked to get a little bit better depth at the running back position, but I think I'm okay.
I like it. And we both have some rookies on our squad. So don't be afraid to draft rookies, folks. It's part of the game. There's 17 games this year, right?
Yeah.
Just your ranks, people. It's not your dad's NFL anymore. It's your NFL now. Yeah, come on.
Well, and we went rookie running backs. We didn't go and get a bunch of rookie receivers.
I have one. Just one.
You got one, but it was in the 13th round.
Right. We did not go after the Drake Londons, who, by the way, if Drake doesn't get touchdowns, Marcus Mariota, how many people is he going to support over there?
Pretty nervous. Well, it's time for tags. You've been very, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, sure.
It's been a lot of fun, but time for tags. Where can we find you and what's the name of the website again?
Yeah. So I'm NimbleWNumbers on Twitter. I'm NimbleWNumbers.com. I'm at Nimble W Numbers on Gmail. If you want to email me, right? So, and if you see me on any platforms, I'm Nimble W Numbers on Sleeper. I'm Nimble W Numbers on DraftKings. It's just, it's my handle. And it's Nimble with numbers. But you know, on Twitter, you can't put a slash in there. And then with is too small. So it's implicit, people. But I do love numbers. As much bullshit as I spew, it's all backed by data, right? So I like to be funny and silly. But there's data research that I do every single week where Bo and myself are just crunching numbers, looking at numbers, building spreadsheets, building data models, building our own, looking at Run the Sims. Shout out Justin Freeman and Pat Mayo. Love those guys. But it really what it comes down to is we love football and we want to be able to share that love with you, with anybody, with the listener, with anybody. So please, on Twitter, reach out. And you want to joke around, you want to show a picture of your pet, you want to talk about your kids. I'm there for all of it.
Well, hey, man, I thank you again for coming on. You know, it's been a long time coming. And, you know, make sure you guys go check out Scott's work. I'm definitely going to be hitting Bo up to come on the show. And again, for all your DFS needs, make sure you go over and check out Scott's website and look out for his articles right here on the SGPN.
Hell yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And as always, good luck this season.